Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. There is an unwritten constitution that binds every government of every nation. It stands above any written law or constitution made by man. This unwritten constitution is but an expression of nature's immutable laws as they apply to human societies. And that unwritten constitution is this: the function of government is to serve the survival, best interests, and upward progress of the biological group, the race, the people, which created it. This is nature's law. The leadership caste of any social species, any life form which exists and evolves as a group, like humans, that leadership exists only to serve the advancement and survival of that group, to ensure that the gene patterns which make that group what it is continue to exist in the future. And that, in turn, makes the group's continued evolution toward its destiny possible. The alpha wolf ceases to be the alpha wolf if he cannot or will not serve the pack's best interests, or if he betrays the pack and lessens its chances for survival. He will be ousted and likely killed if he does so betray his fellows, and rightly so. In the beehive, the queen rules in the best interests of her kind. The leader of a flock of migratory birds leads so that the flock and the species may find and occupy the territory it absolutely needs for survival. So also the leaders of the great migrating herds of antelope, impala, and other creatures. Nature bestows leadership for one purpose only: the advancement and survival of the group, the race, the subspecies, or the tribe, the pure and uncompromised pursuit of the genetic interests of the led. Anything else is an aberration and leads to death. Death of the false or parasitic leader, or death of the group, or both. This applies to human groups as well. Thus, any leader or any government clique which puts its own personal interests ahead of the nation's interests is tyrannical and illegitimate and in violation of the unwritten Constitution, and morally ought to be overthrown. And any leader who serves openly or secretly another people while pretending to serve his own people is tyrannical and illegitimate and no real leader at all, and morally deserves to be overthrown and then given the punishment traditionally given to traitors. It doesn't matter how many people voted for the traitor. It doesn't matter how much wealth the traitor has. It doesn't matter what the traitor's poll numbers are. It doesn't matter how many powerful interest groups endorse the traitor. It doesn't matter how much money the traitor has handed out from the public treasury in order to buy votes. It doesn't matter if the traitor crossed every T and dotted every I and achieved power according to the legal procedures he was supposed to follow according to law. None of that matters if he has violated the higher law of the unwritten Constitution. Thus, the American politicians and other leaders who serve the Jewish lobby, who send our sons to die in the sand for Israel, who spend billions to protect Israel's borders but who refuse to defend ours, who vote to disarm the American people while importing millions of hostile, violent racial aliens into our country and into our neighborhoods, who persecute and imprison brave activists who try to awaken and defend white families and make a white future possible, who pass laws forcing us to hire and educate and associate with alien invaders at the expense of our own people. Those so-called leaders who vote to transfer our wealth on a massive scale to the parasites of the brown underclass and the parasitic Jewish overclass who engineered the invasion in the first place. These are no leaders at all. They have no legitimacy, and any laws under color of which they rule us are themselves illegal. Their permanent removal is as righteously justified as the removal of a blood-swollen tick from the skin of a helpless child. And if the tick's head is ripped off in the process of removal, well, that's just too bad. A people which can't rouse itself to throw off illegitimate leadership with extreme prejudice is a people which is doomed. If we are going to survive, and I believe we are, there must and will come a time when, as Dr. Pierce put it, the clueless majority of mere numbers is overruled by a majority of will and determination. Now I'm going to examine some excerpts from Donald Trump's recent acceptance speech, which he gave at the Republican National Convention this week. Let's judge his words, his promises, and his proposals in the light of what I've just explained. Donald Trump said, quote, "I have a message for all of you. The crime and violence that today afflicts our nation will soon come to an end. Beginning on January 20th, 2017, safety will be restored. The most basic duty of government is to defend the lives of its own citizens. Any government that fails to do so is a government unworthy to lead." Close quote. He's sounding almost like a legitimate leader here. Donald Trump said, quote, "It's finally time for a straightforward assessment of the state of our nation. I will present the facts plainly and honestly. We cannot afford to be so politically correct anymore. So if you want to hear the corporate spin, the carefully crafted lies, and the media myths, the Democrats are holding their convention next week. But here at our convention, there will be no lies. We will honor the American people with the truth and nothing else." Close quote. Well, let's keep listening and see if he can keep that pledge for 1 hour. Donald Trump said, quote, "Again, I will tell you the plain facts that have been edited out of your nightly news and your morning newspaper." Close quote. Well, we all know the media are controlled. So, Mr. Trump, what is it the media don't want us to know? Mr. Trump tells us, quote, "Nearly 4 in 10 African American children are living in poverty, while 58% of African American youth are not employed. 2 million more Latinos are in poverty today than when the president took his oath of office less than 8 years ago, close quote. So those, Mr. Trump, are the hidden truths the media oligarchs don't want us to know, and which, by implication, should be among our most serious concerns? The fact that Jamal and Antoine are unemployable and always will be? The sad financial plight of the illegal invaders who have been stealing our jobs and making our cities filthy and unsafe? What Trump is saying here is really not significantly different from what the Brookings Institution, the Democratic Party, and the Jewish-controlled media have been telling us for the last 50 years. Trump doesn't even mention the economic and demographic plight of whites. By the standards of the unwritten Constitution, Trump is not a legitimate leader. He is not putting his own people first. If I'd had an ounce of enthusiasm for the Trump campaign before, I sure as hell would be massively disappointed after hearing those words today. I am quite convinced now that there is no hope in Trump. But there is a great deal of hope in the massive disappointment of his enthusiastic followers, which is sure to come. If he's defeated by Clinton, his followers will be massively disappointed and disaffected from the rigged system Trump taught them to distrust. If Trump's elected and becomes another Jewish, cultural Marxist, conservative puppet, like Bush or Reagan, as he seems destined to be, there will be massive disappointment too. Either way, millions of whites will hate the system more than ever before. And from a National Alliance point of view, that's a very good thing. Trump complains about Obama in his speech, but not because of the anti-white policies of the Obama administration, and certainly not from our standpoint, the standpoint of the unwritten Constitution, that no legitimate leader can be of a different race from the people he leads. Trump's criticism of Obama is couched in leftist newspeak, of which Saul Alinsky would be proud. Trump said, quote, "The irresponsible rhetoric of our president, who has used the pulpit of the presidency to divide us by race and color, has made America a more dangerous environment for everyone," close quote. Actually, dividing us by race is precisely what we need. Nothing else can save us. And Trump lies. Both he and Fetchit are now parroting the same old racial unity and racial equality line that is leading us straight to white genocide. Don't believe it? Listen to this. Trump said, quote, "This administration has failed America's inner cities. It's failed them on education. It's failed them on jobs. It's failed them on crime. It's failed them at every level. When I am president, I will work to ensure that all of our kids are treated equally and protected equally. Every action I take, I will ask myself, does this make life better for young Americans in Baltimore, Chicago, Detroit, Ferguson, who have as much of a right to live out their dreams as any other child in America?" Close quote. More white taxpayer funding for inner city, read black, education and jobs programs. More equality. And every action he takes, every single action, Trump will be thinking about the dreams of young aspiring rappers in Detroit and Ferguson and Baltimore. Please. Who writes this stuff? Hillary Clinton? Jared Kushner? Blacks will be in his every thought before he makes any decision. Yet not a word, not a thought, given to considering the hopes and dreams, or the safety, or even the existence of his own people. Donald Trump brings up uncontrolled Muslim immigration, and rightly decries the terror danger it's put us in. But in the process of doing so, he doesn't mention the wars for Israel that have brought the hatred of half the world upon us, and he uses the topic to brazenly pander to sexual deviance, saying, quote, "Only weeks ago in Orlando, Florida, 49 wonderful Americans were savagely murdered by an Islamic terrorist. This time the terrorist targeted our LGBT community. As your president, I will do everything in my power to protect our LGBT citizens from the violence and oppression of a hateful foreign ideology." Close quote. Special mention of blacks, Latinos, and now perverts. But so far as we can gather from Trump's speech, white Americans don't even exist. Unbelievable words coming from the supposedly fascist, racist Trump. His Jewish relatives and handlers must have put him on a 24/7 blue pill drip. Then Trump invokes the Jewish state, calling it, quote, "our greatest ally in the region, the State of Israel," close quote. Not a word about the unending and unnecessary wars we are still embroiled in because of our subservience to Zionism. And here is all that's left of Trump's supposed hard line on Middle Eastern immigration. Quote, "Lastly, we must immediately suspend immigration from any nation that has been compromised by terrorism until such time as proven vetting mechanisms have been put in place." Close quote. Proven vetting mechanisms. Translation: as long as they're vetted, we can bring in unlimited numbers of Somalis and Syrians, and it's just fine with Trump. And just in case some of his racially conscious white supporters don't get it yet, Trump then goes full on ADL with this gem. Quote, "Anyone who endorses violence, hatred, or oppression is not welcome in our country and never will be." Close quote. And we all know that whites defending themselves from invasion and genocide, or just asserting their right to simply exist, is the very definition of violence, hatred, and oppression. That's Jewish-coded language inserted into Trump's speech, sending a signal to Jews and the more aware sort of whites that a Trump administration will continue to persecute, dispossess, and commit genocide against whites. Whites who know they're in danger are haters and will not be welcome in Trump's America. Remember the unwritten Constitution. The function of government is to serve the survival, best interests, and upward progress of the biological group, the race, the people which created it. Any government and any leader which does not serve that purpose is illegitimate and must be removed from power. As for Trump, he has chosen his path, and it is not ours. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance, founded by William Luther Pierce in 1970. This program is published every week at whitebiocentrism.com and nationalvanguard.org. You can join and support us by visiting natall.com or write to National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. We welcome your support, your inquiries, and your help in spreading our message of hope to our people. Once again, our address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you to never give up.
Yeah. down.